It's about 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. This is launch day for Phoenix, the Moas search and rescue vessel. Walking through Manoel Island right now, surrounded by a series of large and small fishing boats and yachts. It's still quite cold in the air, but the sun's just coming up, so in about an hour or two's time, it's going to be quite warm. Looking out in the distance, across the quay, I can see Phoenix. It must be about 100 steps from me right now. We're just coming up to the Moas boat now, and it's navy blue, red, white and orange decals with the Moas painted on its starboard side.
The crew are hard at work stowing water below deck, just one of the jobs left on the to-do list. This is Moas's fourth mission rescuing migrants from the central Mediterranean, and the job only gets tougher. At this stage of 2017, we've already seen over 600 people die making the crossing. The Phoenix is a 40-foot trawler turned rescue vessel, bringing together a wide mix of people from former military to merchant sailors and emergency responders. Among its veterans is rescue swimmer Paul.
So this is my changing room. So this is what all the stuff's packed into. It's a little black box, and there's some bits and pieces in there still. But then most of it's in here ready to go. So there's a dry bag with a little throw line, fins, some bits and pieces, so I'll put some water and maybe some food in there, so that goes with me. Boots, so they're quite sturdy boots.
Yeah.
But buoyancy aid, and that sort of stuff on. Wetsuit, gloves, and a helmet with a light for nighttime stuff. When we know there's a rescue operation about to start, I still get nervous, and I think that's quite a healthy thing. And it sounds strange, but I get nervous almost up until the point that we see the boat. And then we see the boat, and it might be a rubber dinghy with a 150 people in, and at that point I kind of switch off, but I'm somewhat more relaxed, because at that point I know what we're dealing with and it's something that we've dealt with before. So up until we actually see it and kind of almost smell it and hear it, I've got the kind of butterflies in my stomach every time.
So the rescue boat itself has a list meeting.
There are some new faces in the Moas crew. One of them is Zach McAuliffe. Zach has been made second officer responsible for the equipment and maintenance of the vessel.
I have the 12 to 4 watch. I am mainly situated in the bridge. And when we're maneuvering or something to go alongside or to get the ship moored, I'm normally on the aft station helping out with communications, bridge to aft communications with the crew. I transfer the instruction given by the master of the vessel to the crew in order to maintain a good operation, safe operation. I'm delegated to be in charge of safety equipment also on board, so I have to make sure that everything is up to standard, nothing expired, everything is in good condition, certification. And
so double checking, triple double checking.
Double checking, triple checking, ensuring of everything.
So as you can see, right by the door we have the stretcher the patient can immediately be put down. And all of our equipment is right beside them. So
helping the post-rescue care team are a group of experienced doctors and paramedics. Joining the clinic for the Phoenix launch is Annie. As a clinical paramedic, she's used to working inside the cramped conditions of an ambulance, a quarter of the size of the Phoenix clinic.
How have you mentally prepared for this?
I try not to. I've gone out in a few different... I try not to because you can actually get into your head too much if you overthink it. You literally just focus on your clinic and do I know where things are? When I have a patient, I need to be just going on automatic because that's how we all operate. Your training just kicks in. So that's been my only focus, just making sure I know where everything is and I know what my role is in the team and I know what I will be doing with each and every patient. Once I'm comfortable with that, that's as mentally prepared as I do it. If you start asking too many questions and how many body bags do you normally take, and it can actually get into your head too much. You can, for me anyway, I can start to lose sleep and everything. Mm-hmm. You deal with what you deal with. There's no point trying to freak yourself out and say, oh, well, what if I see this and what? Same, like I said, with the ambulance, you get to a car crash and it could be a really nasty car crash or it could be a run-of-the-mill car crash. You treat your patients exactly the same. The more severe patients obviously need more care, but you just know that I'm trained, I know where things are, and if it's a big rescue, little rescue, we can go.
To work, yeah, in the outside, I have to go help outside to work. Sometimes break, pass milk here. Sometimes cook, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some milk.
Feeding over 20 crew members and almost 400 migrants isn't easy. The galley just off the main cabin is the domain of the steward Santosh and head cook Simon.
The migrants usually give the biscuit, the water, and sometimes make some tea. Migrant tea, yeah. Yeah, then sometimes give me the noodle, important the red. Before last year, I take the Red Cross also. He's asked, what do you want to give me? Sometimes give me biscuit, but usually give me biscuit, the water. Then make the morning tea, like 4 or 5 part, the big one, they give me for the tea in the morning. It's come fresh, drink.
Okay.
Big boss, he say, I'm last year make me and the other guy, Stefan. He say, make the Santos, the other guy, for the outside, the migrant, for the food. So have the still rice, and have the different kinds make for the mix, for giving the 1 cup like this plate for the all the people.
I guess there's got to be a lot of sort of creativity involved in the kind of things you make.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can start with a kind of an idea and a game plan, but it's going to get altered throughout the week, and you end up just utilizing what's left and what's the least amount and get rid of that. What's going to go bad first? We need to use that stuff up, and then it's kind of putting a puzzle together, but it's. You know, it's fun. It's you do get creative out here, especially when you see that. Okay, you're not going to be back in port for another week, but you're running real low on this or that. Then your brain will start to do troubleshooting scenarios there.
So I'm now standing in what is now being called the Monkey Island, which is a purposely built observational tower on board Phoenix. And the centerpiece of this observation tower is a set of very large, high performance, top of the range binoculars. Now, I understand from speaking to the crew that these binoculars will allow them not just to see boats out in the distance, but also to identify people who are in distress, day or night. Now, I'm just having a quick look through the binoculars. I can see a church in very high definition. In terms of distance, it must be about 2.5 football pitches from us.
Returning captain of Phoenix, Gonzalo Calderon, explains more about the initial rescue process.
As soon as we sighted, we called everybody to go to their position to do their duties. Some people on deck, the rescue team prepared the rib for launching, their own equipment, the medical team, they prepare the clinic and they put on their safety suit and boots, everything. And we continue approaching, and when they are pretty close, maybe 1 mile, we send the RIP to contact them. So we have the RIP is the one, the source of information.
So here we are next to one of the RIPs that's deployed to go and rescue migrants. They can normally hold up to about 20 people at once. So if you imagine a boat normally takes about 150 to 200 people overly loaded, these things are probably doing about 7 or 8 trips.
Through then we receive we know if what's the condition of the rubber boat or wooden boat, how many people, if they are they have some difficulties, there are some gas, you know, flames around, and as soon as the situation is controlled, we start transferring people from the boat to Phoenix.
So standing right next to the RIP here and looking over at what looks like almost 2 dozen full bags of adults and children's life jackets. There must be at least 400 here.
Mimo drives the fast rescue boats for Phoenix. He tells us what happens when migrants come aboard.
We're on the starboard side. Yeah. The RIP's there. We have 20 migrants on it.
Yeah.
What do you do next? You're pulling them out.
Yes. How we work is we have 2 people here, okay, that can help the people come up. They pull them up, okay. When we walk from here, we have the paramedic or the nurse. They check the temperature for them, mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next step, if they're okay, they move back here.
Yeah. So we're moving to the back of the boat now.
Yes. We tell them to take the place here, because they're more comfortable here. We give them water immediately. Who is wet, we give them space blankets. And after, we start seeing who needs the medical assistance.
So I'm now walking across the drone pad that is the top aft deck of Phoenix. It's a large orange colored space with a white crosshair. This space is used to accommodate men after a rescue. And there are tarpaulins on its port and starboard sides. And these can be deployed to shelter the men from the sun.
Davide is leading the post-rescue team for the first stage of MOAS's mission. He explains that the ship has the capacity to take almost 400 people.
The sun is open to the wind. The lower deck can accommodate more or less 140 people, 130, 140, of course very compressed. We try and save some space for women and children there, so women and children can stay in the most protected area on the lower deck. This doesn't mean that we split families. We try and keep the families together. It's important to want to leave husbands and fathers with their families. But if we have other men who do not belong to the families, we try and use this space as well. This space is much larger, can accommodate about 300 people at the same time, which is a lot, but we have to use all the space we have.
MOAS receives its instructions about rescues from the Maritime Rescue Coordination Center in Rome. And once Phoenix takes on 2 or 3 rescues, the crew will get orders to take them to a port in Italy. It takes some time to get there, so how do you keep people comfortable?
Sometimes it takes a day, 2 days, maybe 2.5 days to get to
yes,
Italy.
At the beginning, when they come, all they want is that they feel safe. So we have qualified people that even just talking to them, we make them feel that they're safe. That's the most important thing. The second is we leave them rest, because after what they have been through, they need to rest. Okay. Then after a few hours we give them food, again water all the time we give them, and then even the kids we give them some toys.
It's finally time. Friends and family of the crew are stood on the quayside as we slowly watch Phoenix and her crew leave for the operational area.